Base Hits and Banter. Welcome back, everybody. I am one of your hosts, Sam Fisher, here with my bestie.
Halo. That's me.
Halo's here.
Halo's here.
We've got another week of just utter nonsense.
Utter nonsense, utter banties. It was a fabulous Easter weekend in college softball. We had upsets, we had sweeps, we had dominating pitching performances. Yeah. What stood out to you this weekend, Samu?
Okay, so what stood out to me is, you know how Reese's makes all the different chocolates for the season, right? So they make their Reese's eggs, which is just like a Reese's peanut butter cup shaped like an egg.
Right.
But they also make a Reese's, like a Canterbury egg, where it's round. I don't know how to do this with my hands. But it, oh my gosh, that's what stood out to me this weekend, was how good Reese's be
so
doing.
Tasty.
How they just be doing so good.
Reese's, if you're out there listening and you love softball, we love you.
Huge fan.
So you're more than welcome to come on and be a guest.
Yeah.
We can have a Reese's bunny egg on our,
yeah,
on our show. But
it's so necessary to talk about. But in the softball world, so much happened. I think I first would like to point out Texas dropped 2 to Oklahoma State. And it's not the weird thing that they lost 2 games. I mean, they've only lost 5 now on the season, but both were shutouts.
Yes.
They scored 0 runs in both of those losses, which is wild.
And 2 complete game shutouts by Lexi Kilfoyle, who, when on and when she's healthy, I don't know that a drop ball moves more. There's not a drop ball out there that moves more than
it's
hers.
So heavy.
In my opinion, it weighs as much as the Titanic. Like, that's how heavy it is. It just sinks. Okay. Happy Easter, everyone. But seriously, like, it's unbelievable. And by the way, that was the first time Texas has been shut out all year.
Yes.
And the second time Texas has been shut out all year. Like, if it's so good, you did it once, you might as well do it again.
Yeah.
Like, she was absolutely unbelievable. Believe she was named Pitcher of the Week this week. Rightfully so. I don't know who else could have thrown better in the college softball world. But yeah, that was extremely impressive. And Texas is, they play Oklahoma this weekend, and so very interested to see. That's a really tough 6-7 game stretch, whatever it is for them. Really interested to see how they respond, because we know they have firepower, but like, can you get all of those people flying in the same direction? I think that's going to be something that's really, really interesting to watch.
Yeah, you're, oh my gosh, you said it. I'm sorry, I'm still on the Titanic reference. That's
so sorry.
Anyway,
why was the first thing that I thought, like, oh, let's think of something super heavy, and why was it the Titanic? I don't know. It's just a boat, just a really big, large boat that was, you know, built in the early 1900s.
It was proven to be very heavy.
Proven. Yeah. Big shout out there.
So some other softball related things. What I thought, Duke sweeping Virginia Tech. That's a big sweep. Do you know where Duke lies on the top 25 right now?
They got to be top 5, right?
Number two? Yeah.
Holy macaroons.
Yeah.
Let's freaking go, Duke.
Yeah. That's like the top 5 as it stands right now is Oklahoma, Duke, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas. So,
I love that for Duke.
Georgia, Arkansas took the series win over Georgia
in Athens.
Yes. Like, that's tough to do. And Arkansas ranked 20, Georgia ranked 3, and Arkansas took the series. Very impressive.
Unbelievable. Very impressive. We were watching that game Monday night, and we got to shout out our women's basketball counterparts here, because women's basketball is having a moment right now. Caitlin Clark was on absolute fire.
Yep.
Great game, Iowa LSU. And East Coast K-Dog and I were watching. We had basketball on one TV, and then we rolled out our TV, our second TV, put it on a mobile TV stand, and had our second TV watching Arkansas and Georgia. And I gotta say, like, I did not think Arkansas was gonna win this series to begin with. And I really thought Georgia would come out just and like blow them out of the water in the rubber match game on Monday night. Boy, was I wrong. And big shout out to Danielle Gibson, who,
love her.
You know, she was at Georgia for a year. She goes back to her school. She takes a job at, you know, where she went to school and broke however many records she broke at Arkansas, every single
Hit
one of
the
them.
Grand Slam cycle. Anyway,
Woo Pig Suey, like cycle. One of the best humans, like one of the best coaches, best hitting minds that's out there. Hannah Gamble hit two home runs Monday night.
Yeah.
She had five RBIs and she scored two runs herself. They won 8-2. It wasn't close. Like, Georgia fought back for a little bit after Arkansas jumped out to an early lead. And you kind of thought, okay, like, okay, Georgia's going to have their moment now, whatever. And the Hogs said, absolutely not.
No suey for you.
The balls that they were hitting were shots. Even their outs, I felt like, were really loud outs. You can tell they were really prepared when they stepped in the box. They knew what was going on. It almost felt like they knew what pitches were coming in a way. And I think that's just a testament to our friend Gibby and her getting them prepped and ready. But their pitching staff did a great job too, holding Georgia's offense has been incredible all year.
Like,
what a fun series. Their highest ranked series win in program history, by the way.
Amazing.
Pretty cool. And to do it on the road in Athens. Tough place to play.
You love to see it. I do have another upset I'd love to shout out with a little.
Please.
Boston College upset Clemson 4-0.
A shutout.
Yeah, that's hard.
Unreal.
Beating anybody, you know, but Clemson, shoot.
I think we talked about this last week. Sweeps are so
hard.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter how low they're ranked, how high they're ranked. For you to beat someone three times is really hard.
Yeah.
Arkansas played out of their minds all weekend, still didn't get the sweep. Oklahoma State played out of their minds all weekend, still didn't get the sweep.
Yep.
Like, Washington all year long, up until this week, like, has yet to been able to get a sweep. They finally get the sweep this weekend against Oregon State.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so hard to beat someone three times. And I think that's just a test. Like, Boston College, good for you. Sticking in there, scrappy.
Yeah.
And to do that shutout fashion.
Yeah.
I love that.
Not 1-0, 4-0. Like, they
4-0, handily.
That game. Yeah. Commanded that game. Love to see it. I'm glad you threw in that Washington pulled out the sweep, because it was like, we got to tell the people, like, they did it.
They did it.
They got the sweep. I feel bad it was against Oregon State, because I love me Laura Berg so much.
We're big
the
Laura Berg the Beavers fans.
Always. But they finally did it. And game three was 1-0 in 9 innings. So somehow that game three.
They fought. They scratched. They clawed. Yep. They finally got the sweep.
Yep.
But freaking awesome. LSU also swept Texas A&M this weekend.
That they did. After a rough week last week. So
rough week last week. Very big turnaround. I did not think that was going to be a sweep. I think that was probably the moral of my weekend this weekend. What I thought was going to be sweeps weren't sweeps. And things I didn't think were going to be sweeps ended up being sweeps. But LSU looked really impressive. Taylor Pleasance is such a gem of a human being. She spent some time with the national team, plays a great shortstop, but for her to have that walk-off home run after she's kind of been struggling a little bit in SEC play, that was a really, really cool moment.
Pretty sweet.
And A&M's been playing great too. So
yes, they have.
Good
pitching
for the
and
Tigers.
Hitting, like, all the way around, they've had a strong game this year.
Very complete. And all three of those games were extremely close.
Yes, too. Right. Which is, it's just hard.
So hard.
I did want to give a little shout out to Iowa's Jalen Adams. She threw a no-no against Michigan State. Super exciting. I just, you know, you got to call out those big softball moments, no matter if it's the first or the 100th in program history. It's still, it's hard to do, to throw a no-hitter. I've never done it, but I can speak of being involved in them. It is hard, because it doesn't matter who you're playing, if they're the best team, the worst team, to get everybody out.
It's crazy.
No hits.
And think about how many times, like, our game is so funny, right? And, like, you can hit a line drive so hard right at someone, but you get jammed or you hit a ball off the end of your bat and that's what falls for a single.
Yeah.
So for all of that, not only are you pitching well and throwing well, but for you to have all the luck on your side, for your defense to play that way behind you,
Yes.
Super impressive. And I do think, like, obviously the pitcher gets a ton of credit for no hitters, yeah. but the defense has to play a complete 100%. Game behind them as well.
100%.
And what a cool moment. What a cool moment.
I love that. I love that for her. And
that's so great.
What a weekend. We had a great recap. That was a great weekend.
I do. Could we give a shout out to Miss Kennedy from Stanford, who happened to hit her first career home run?
I love that. She's so good at softball.
So it's, first of all, unbelievable. Like when I saw it, reminded me of when Georgina Corrick, also friend of the program, shows up for Great Britain and hits an absolute tank over in a world championship qualifier. And you're like, oh my gosh, she hits and she's super athletic.
This can do it all.
It's like, we knew this, but she steps in the box. She gets her first career home run. Mind you, she had 20 Ks on the weekend. She was 2-0. She had a 0 ERA. She only gave up 7 hits, 4 walks in 12 innings pitched. So
just doing it all.
Just doing it all. Go Stanford, go Card. That was unbelievable.
I love, we gotta talk to her.
We need to talk to her. Somebody get her on the program.
Big fans. Oh man. Wow. Okay. Great. That was a great finish to a sweet recap. I did want to mention that although Halo and I are in different wardrobe today, Halo representing the darkness that comes from making Titanic references. And I've got my old alma mater LMU softball BP top on here. But if you guys want to wear some USA softball stuff that we wear,
please
go check out usasoftballstore.com for gear. Right now, you can use code BHB15 and get 15% off your entire purchase. And then show us, because then we'll match. And then we love that. I mean, I'm kind of in the right colors, but you know what?
You are. I am not. Just pray for my soul.
Yes, the darkness.
It's just a little dark over here right now, you know?
In Florida, the state of the sun.
It's literally sunny and 75 outside right now. It's but so nice. Don't worry, I'm wearing an all-black hoodie.
These things make sense. These things they make
do.
Sense.
They do.
You want to talk a little bit about the old mental health? We'll get a little banty balance up in here.
Yeah, let's really do our banty balance here. And I think balance is a perfect word for today, because we're talking about making sure we're taking care of our mental health in our busy lives. And I think this is such a good topic for both of us to speak on, as you know, we have ventured into full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Taking on this podcast, getting to chit chat with each other and have a lot of banter, still playing professional softball, making sure we're taking care of our bodies and training and doing all of those normal things.
Yeah.
So we kind of, you and I kind of are working like 3 full-time jobs right now.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So we're a little busy. So I would love to know, Sam, how do you do it? Like, how do you do it all? How do you take care of yourself? How do you give yourself grace in just all of the different things that you're doing?
Yeah, it's a great question, because you're right. This is perfect for us right now. We have, you know, people have full plates, and I think we've got like a Thanksgiving platter.
We've got a buffet.
Our buffet table is just full. You know, what's funny is, and if Amanda Chittister is out there listening, she always tells me, say no, Sam, say no. And there's times where I realize, you know what, like I need to say no, even though I've already said yes, maybe next time I need to say no. So that comes with things like anything extra or anything on top of the things that I already need to do. So for example, like I need to hit the gym. I need to do the work on the full-time job stuff, right? What do I need to do? And then what can I fill in if there's extra or extraneous or any miscellaneous items, you know, and making sure that I'm taking care. It's a lot. It reminds me of being a student athlete now, honestly, having a job and being a player. It's like just bringing it back to the LMU days where I had to get some things done. And then there were spaces if I wanted to do something else. Now there is always a choice to do nothing in those spaces. Like yesterday was pretty busy. I was, you know, we were off work, but there, I had a few things I needed to take care of to get ready for the week. Reggie had physical therapy, like most dogs do. And there was a point where I was like, you know what? I have 20 minutes right now. I sat on the couch and I fell asleep for about 18 minutes. And it deserved. Was beautiful. And I got up and I went about and did the rest of my day. And I know that if I would have tried to shove something into that 20 minutes, I would have just been wrecked. And it, you know, it gave me the little boost that I needed to go about the rest of my day. But
I love
think
that.
Prioritizing, making lists. I know you said you like to make lists about your whole day, which I
have
love.
I love
that. But making sure that what you're doing aligns with what you A, need to be doing, but also what you want to be doing. You know, there's times where I remember when I was younger, social events or social things would come up and I'd be like, dang, I gotta go to this, or shoot. There's things where I'm like, I can't do that today, or I can't do that this weekend. Like, can we do it this time instead? You know? So just kind of creating your own boundary for yourself, I think is truly an answer. But what, tell me more about what you do to balance it all.
1000%. I think for me, I setting boundaries and saying no is really important, because I think what I've had to accept in the last few years is that I can't do everything. And if I try to do everything, the quality of what I do is going to go in the tank and sink, like some other stuff, like Let's Eat Kill Bones Drop All, right? So, but I read a book recently. It's called Slow Productivity by Cal Newport. And if you haven't read Cal Newport, I highly encourage you to read really any of his books. He's a fabulous author. He's a computer science professor. He talks about all things time management and eliminating distraction and what like productivity actually means. And I think we get so caught up, especially as young women, we feel like we have to hustle, we have to work, we have to always kind of be doing something. And it's like, I had to ask myself the question, am I being productive or am I just pretending to be busy?
Oh my God.
Am I actually doing something that's going to move the needle forward in some sort of aspect of my life? Or am I just like taking up time and pretending to be busy and pretending to be productive? In this book, Cal Newport talks about three things on actually how to be productive. It's doing less, working at a natural pace, and then obsessing over quality. And so I was like, oh my gosh. It's like, my busyness is like, I'm just kind of making, I might be just making this up in my mind. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I'm like, okay, I have like three or four things I want to prioritize today. I'm going to knock those out and I'm going to absolutely obsess over the quality of which I do them. I'm not going to try to juggle five things at once. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to focus on, okay, I'm filming the podcast with Sam today. How can I bring the best possible quality in this hour that we have together? How can I bring the best possible quality distraction-free into that? Okay, I'm making pitches at Athletes Unlimited. How can I bring the best possible quality into this sales pitch so people will invest money in us? That would be so nice, right? I'm going to training. How can I invest all of my time, all of my focus, all of my energy into this one thing? And what I've realized is I actually feel more productive and better overall by doing less. I don't feel like I'm doing 15 million things all at once. It's just like I'm bouncing from thing to thing to thing. So I think it's okay to slow down.
Yeah.
Like write out your list, pick three or four things you want to execute that day and get it done. And if something can't get done today, give yourself some freaking grace.
It's okay.
It's totally okay. Yeah. The world is not moving as fast as you think it is. Mm-hmm. It's really not. So yeah, take a step back, slow down.
Great.
Yeah, and just do less and do things at a really high quality. And when you do something so well, people are not going to ignore you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And like, you know, you hear the phrase like spreading yourself thin. And what that means is where you're like, I can't give a quality amount of myself to this task because I've given so much of myself to those 40 other meaningless tasks that now I get here and I'm going to hit off the tee and I'm like, I don't have it today. And it's not because I don't have it. It's because I gave it away.
Exactly. Don't give it away. Keep it with you.
I love that. I like the priorities. I like the slowing down. And you talk about it all the time in your physical preparation of quality reps over quantity. And that applies to everything. Have you read Atomic Habits?
I have. Phenomenal book.
Outstanding. I love it. And I love where it's like feeling like you need to slow down or feeling like you need to do less. Sometimes, like you said, you need to give yourself grace. Like sometimes people feel like they need to be doing something all the time. And at the end of the day, it's like, no, sometimes you can attack little bite size without even realizing it. Like making sure that you have an empty sink before you go to bed instead of, oh, now I have a task to do tomorrow of the dishes. Like
exactly.
Kind of just attacking things as they are and as they come, instead of like piling. And then all of a sudden you're overwhelmed. You have 400 things to do in one day. And now the things you need to do fall behind, or the quality, like you said, might fall behind. So
exactly.
Excellent topic today, Halo.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
I'm feeling inspired.
Yeah. I love that.
That happens most of the time when I talk to you anyway. So
that's what happens on this podcast. You get some balance in your life and then you're inspired to go out and just attack all of the fun stuff that you do in your day to day. It's great. That's what we do on the Base Hits and Banter Banty Balance.
Yeah. So,
which is great.
That's right.
We're gonna do a seamless transition.
Boom, baby.
Into our HPP and national team news. Yes. Sam, would you like to share some stuff that's going on with the HPP?
Yeah, I would love that. I'm going to channel my inner Halo and my announcer voice just so everybody's prepared. April is going to be a busy month for identifiers. We have Marietta, Georgia is coming up this weekend, April 7th. And there's walk-up registration currently going on. So you can walk up if you don't get a chance to, you know, pre-register. They do take walk-ups. And then in Rockland, California, the following weekend, April 14th, we have an HPP up there. Yours truly, will be there. So say hey. And then rounding out April, we're in Dallas, Texas, April 21st. So visit hpp.usasoftball.com for more information or a list of other identifiers. If it's not this month, maybe next month, check out where you can apply. So that's what's going on in the HPP. A little busy.
That's really busy. It's a good thing for the HPP to be busy. So hopefully all you people will get out and get to those identifiers and register, sign up, come say hello to all of your fabulous Team USA staff, which is exciting. Speaking of Team USA, there was a big announcement.
Yeah.
On March 29th.
Yep.
2024. USA Softball announced the coaches that are going to join the women's national team program during the 2024 season. This is such a loaded staff, you guys.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's absolutely incredible. Yeah. So it was selected by the USA Softball Women's National Team and Junior Women's National Team selection committees.
Yep.
Ellie Crutchman, friend of the program, is going to be the head coach of the elite team, assisted by Elisa Goller, Rachel Lawson, who I'm a little mad at this current moment after the weekend they had against Alabama, but I do love Rachel Lawson. She's a fabulous coach.
Yes.
And Cody Thompson. They are going to lead the women's elite team. And then Kyla Hollis will be the head coach for the junior team.
Yes.
The U18 women's national team, also assisted by Elisa Goller and Kelly Crutchman on that staff. So, I mean, I don't know of a better person to lead the elite team than Kelly Crutchman. You guys are going to hear a little bit about that when we get to chat with Kelly, which is so exciting. But I just love the way that Kelly leads, the way that she approaches things. And I just think she's going to do an incredible job of the elite team. And Kyla is just an absolute gem of a human being leading our junior women's national team.
Yeah.
So some new faces on USA staffs, which I think is great. I think it's always good to get new and fresh perspectives.
Yeah.
But man, what a summer it's going to be.
It's
such
be
a loaded
so
staff. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I just, the knowledge, the rounded experience too, you know, like where it's different. Each person has something different to bring to the table, which gives, you know, these athletes a chance to learn and to grow in different ways. So I'm excited to see what they do. And I think everybody's going to like our guest for this podcast today, because it's very relevant to that news.
Yes, absolutely.
And is there a mohawk involved? For sure.
Gotta be. It's the best hair in all of
This weekend, though, we've got some big matchups. You already mentioned we've got Oklahoma and Texas. And it's
Austin,
at Texas, so it's going to be...
Oh my gosh. Austin is going to be... Wow. The burnt orange is going to be out and alive to try to beat those Sooners. And Oklahoma is playing, like, I think they lost and it's just like pressure's off and now they're playing.
Yeah, they're playing like they do be.
Yeah, and we haven't really talked about them that much because it's just like, oh, they're winning 15 to nothing. Oh, they're winning 18 to three. Like, it's, you know, they're just doing what Oklahoma does. So I do think I'm excited to watch that series.
Yeah.
And we'll have it all broken down on the next episode.
That we will. And we've
but
got
also another big another big matchup in the SEC this weekend. We talked about Georgia dropping the series to Arkansas this week. They are going to be at Tennessee.
Yeah,
this weekend.
And in the rankings, that's their neighbors. They're ranked third and fourth. So
right there.
That's going to be.
This might be a series that we go back to determine who the regular season champ in the SEC is.
It might be. Oh, Halo. Way to give the people what they want.
That's what we're here for.
That's right.
We're women of the people.
Of the people. Yes. And I hope that everybody enjoys our guest. So stay tuned and have so much fun. You're going to have a blast. I'm just saying.
Holy buckets. We're foaming.
Holy buckets.
At Higginbotham, we put people first. Our specialists are here to serve you, the people you care about, and your success. Insurance, HR, and financial services. Inspired by you.
All right, Banties. I hope you guys are excited. I hope you're buckled up. We've got, I mean, I'm biased, but it's also a fact, a great guest coming up. Halo, do you want to tell the people who they're about to hear from?
I am so stoked to welcome this particular guest to the show. We have joining with us a former 9-time professional all-star softball outfielder. We have a 4-time NCAA All-American at the University of Alabama. We have a 2004 Olympic gold medalist and a 2008 Olympic silver medalist. We have literally one of only a few NCAA Division I players ever to bat 400 with 300 hits, 200 runs, and 100 stolen bases for her college career. Literally one of the best college softball players of all time. One of the best professional, if not the best professional players of all time. Two-time Olympic medalist, great human being, and an HPP icon. Kelly Crutchman, welcome to the program.
Wow.
Thank you. That was really long. That was unnecessary.
I don't know what to cut out. That's the freaking problem, because you played for so freaking long and you're still around softball and you've been around softball for so long. I couldn't narrow it down. So I had to give
you say the old one.
Hey, the GOAT. I could have just said that. The GOAT. The GOAT.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Hey, listen, we love you. And she didn't mention your mohawk in the intro, so she did cut one out.
The best hair in all of softball.
You're in the game.
It's funny. I don't know who I was talking to the other day, but they were like, man, your hair gets so many compliments. I was like, yeah. I was like, God, people used to recognize me by all my tattoos. Now it's the hair. It's like.
That's so funny. Now it's just like, blonde mohawk with that.
I absolutely love that.
Hell, let's just go right into it. I feel like you got some news that you want to share with the people. Well, I want you to share with the people because it's really freaking awesome and exciting. So do you want to tell people what's going on in your life?
Yeah, I absolutely would love to. So I'm really pumped and stoked about this opportunity because I'm like extremely passionate about wearing USA, those three letters across your chest. There you go. I am going to be the elite head coach of the elite team this summer for the USA national team, the elite team, which is the second team. But we're going to be going to Japan to play in a 3-game series, June 30th through July 9th. So I'm really stoked about that. I want to bring just that passion and energy and excitement back into, like, you know, what it means to be wearing that. Those three letters across your chest. And I know you two know what that means and what it meant to you guys. So I'm just really, really pumped about it.
So exciting.
Yeah. It's one of the coolest things. Like, I think we're so pumped just to have your presence energy around. I know, Kel, when you were helping us on the 2020 tour, it just felt like such a sense of relief to have your presence and your energy and just your softball mind around. So I have no doubt, like, what you're going to do with the elite team is going to be absolutely incredible. And you're going to sweep Japan when you go over there and just, like, kick their butts. So I'm stoked. I couldn't think of anyone better for the job. So it's awesome. Yeah. Congrats.
Well, I really appreciate that. And, like, in my interview, like, that was one of the things I talked about, right, was that we used to have this this sense of, like, every country being scared of us. And, like, if it was our first team or was our second team, like, we beat you. And yeah. I feel like in the last couple of years, or, you know, however long, it's kind of gotten away from us a little bit. And, like, the second team has been kind of just someone that's gone over there, or, you know, gone and played just to kind of get info or scout or, you know, whatever the case may be, or to see players play. Mm. But, like, I'm like, no, like, damn it. Like, this is about time where we put that fear back into every country, that we have a phenomenal talent of athletes, again, that we can send two teams and it doesn't matter who's on both teams and we're still going to beat you. Like, that's the mentality that I have going into it. You know, and it's funny because I called myself the captain of the elite team back in the day, because you guys probably don't know this, but I was on every elite team possible. I made one Pan American team, and I was an alternate 2000 for the Olympic team, but then I was on the two Olympic teams, and I never made a women's national team other than that. So I know what it meant to be on the elite team. What it used to mean to be on that elite team was that I was pissed because I wanted to be on that team, on the national team. Like, I thought I should have been on that team. And so every game was, and all of us on that team, honestly, every time there was an elite team, like, we had that mentality of, like, we're going to prove to everyone that they made a mistake by not selecting us. And the cool thing was back then was, like, we got to play the national team in some of the events. Like, we went to Canada Cup together and stuff like that. And, you know, we beat them a couple of times. Like, we beat them a couple of times to where they would take our pitchers off our team and put them. So we didn't beat them. you know, that's stuff that happened back in the day. But, like, I want that mentality back in every athlete that joins our program. Like, I want them to be dedicated to it. Now that we're back in the 28 Olympics, you kidding me? The opportunity to play for your country in the Olympics in your country.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even fathom how awesome that would be. So, like, we're about to be in that quad, and it's about time that people start, like, taking, like, wearing that uniform seriously. And this is gonna be pretty blunt from obviously I'm blunt, so you guys know this, but, like, I want people to stop saying that I feel I'm blessed to be wearing this uniform. I feel, you know, that I'm, what's the biggest word, is, like, I'm honored, or, you know, like, I'm grateful. Like, screw being all of those. They're all great, and everyone says it. It's like the cliche words that we use for everything now. But, like, I want every athlete that's selected specifically, like, for my team, like, no, I deserve to be in this process. Ooh. Right. Deserve. And I deserve to be on that other team. And I'm going to prove to everyone that I deserve to be on that team. So, like, imagine if every single athlete had that mentality, even on the girls on the national team. It's like, no, I deserve to be here. And I'm not going to let somebody else on that other team take my spot.
Totally.
Then it changes the whole, culture. And I mean, and I only speak that from prior experience, right? Like, cause that was our mentality. You know, and it brought fear in every single person that put that uniform on. Like, I have to be at my best all the time. I'm not just grateful. I'm not just happy. I'm not just, you know, excited to be wearing those three letters across my chest. Like, no, I deserve this. And I'm going to make that Olympic team.
I absolutely love that. I'm ready to run through a brick wall now. So that's great. But I love what you're talking about, Kel, with the competitiveness, because it's like, yes, like, we deserve to be in this spot on this national team because we've worked hard for it and earned it. Like, we weren't just handed a spot. And I think that when you're talking about all of these different athletes and these teams in the pool competing against each other, that's what levels everybody's expectation and levels everybody's level of play, right? That's what helps everybody get better, is that competition. It's not something to run away from. It's something to lean into and to take advantage of. Like, I think that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's just, it raises everyone's level of play. And imagine if every single player in our program raised their level of play. Like, Right. No one will come close to beating us.
Right.
Again.
Yeah, I think it comes down to like a hunger. What you're talking about just reminds me of, you know those athletes who are just out there and they're hungry and they're you know, going out there and doing what it takes. And I do agree. I think that there's been kind of a, just in the last chunk of years across the board with youth, with athletes, where it's just like, oh no, this is just another tournament I go to, or oh no, this is just a different jersey that I wear, instead of like, I am wearing USA across my chest. I even, like, I've talked to Halo about this. I haven't played for Team USA since 2016. And when I get to wear a USA softball shirt, it brings me so much joy, so much pride to know that it, like, this is it. This is the goal. This is the goal. Like, this is your goal since you picked up a glove when you were a kid. So, like, having that mentality really shifts the way you are, you present yourself on the field.
Mm-hmm. Well, and two, I think there's a little bit of a, they expect to be selected.
Yes.
And they expect, and again, it's the culture and it's what we've now have in our society today, is that I expect this. I expect 7 practice t-shirts. I expect, you know, to wear new cleats every day, you know. There's just this expectation that, like, which now takes away from the, like, I deserve part. It's like, I expect to be there, and now I'm grateful that they did there's no expectation, because there's someone else that could be replaced by. That's the bottom line. And whether people want to, like, look at themselves in the mirror and think, do I want to do this or do I not want to do this, like, am I just grateful, or am I, like, I'm determined to make this team or make the Olympic team, you know? That goes back to, like, the willingness to change your habits, right? Like, your workout habits, like, figuring out, okay, like, this is what I do in college, but now I'm not in that environment. How do I handle myself? All of those different things. And, you know, we have a lot of younger kids now that are involved in the pool, but they all just sat back and realized that, I believe there's like 40 athletes in the pool right now. I could be off a couple. Don't judge me on that, but there's 40 athletes out of how many women play our sport?
Yeah.
Whether it's in college, professionally, whatever that is, like, it's a lot. And then when you get down to, like, we have 15 athletes, like, 15 are going to go play in Italy this summer, 15 are going to make the Olympic team, like, 15, that's not a whole lot.
No.
So if you expect, you ain't making that. Sorry.
No way.
Because no one's going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to call anybody, but, like, I'm Haley McKinney, and I've been on an Olympic team before.
I don't want to call anybody out. Why is Haley?
But you know what I mean? Like, no. It
comes down to, just because you say you want it doesn't mean you get it. And it's like what you're saying about the expectation, like, I should just get it because I go and I play at this big school. Like, I should just get to wear this jersey. And not how it works, because part of the, like, I deserve to be here is I freaking earned to be here. And that, I think, the disconnect of, like, well, I just want it, so I should just get it. No, how did you earn it? How did you earn? I think about all the conversations of, like, I have scraped and crawled and blood, sweat, and tears to get to this point. And it goes back to, like, Natasha Watley saying, if you're going to, you know, talk about it, be about it. And that's, at the end of the day, the mentality of what we're talking about, I think.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny because there's a story that Taraya Mims Flowers, who was on the Olympic team with me, is Sam loves.
I go Lions.
You know, she told me at the last Olympics, when we were just hanging out in the hotel room, was like, she told me a story about how her and Lisa Fernandez were on a flight together. And for whatever reason, she went back to the bathroom and she just passed out. Like, passed out on there. Taraya just passed out on the airplane. So they, like, you know, got her awake and stuff. And they were like, do you have, you know, a friend on the plane that, like, can we can call on the loudspeaker and stuff. She's like, yeah, I have a friend. Her name's Lisa Fernandez. And they kept calling. They buzzed. Is there Lisa Fernandez on? Like, and like nothing. I don't know if she had headphones in or whatnot. But finally get to the, you know, the end of the story. And they finally found her. And they said, hey, do you have a friend, Taraya Flower? Because at the time she was Taraya Mims, not Taraya Mims Flowers. But and Lisa, not kidding you, goes, no, she's not my friend. She's my teammate. Yeah. So, like, but I think back to playing with Lisa and Doc and Michelle Smith and, you know, even that, like, Bustos and you know, Lovey and Tasha and all of the people that – Caitlin, like, all of the people that I played with. And specifically that older group, the Lisa group, like – I think back and I'm like, you know, it makes sense because yeah. They didn't look at each other as friends. They were teammates and they had to figure out how they were going to be teammates and grow together. But they were teammates fighting for their spots, fighting to be the starter, fighting to be, you know, the best, fighting to get that sponsorship. They were fighting for those things amongst each other. So heck no, they didn't look at each other as friends. They might have been friends, some of them, not Lisa apparently. But no, I mean, Lisa and Taraya are great now, but you know, Taraya played for Lisa at UCLA. So for her to say like, no, she's my teammate, like, it just struck me. I'm like, man, like
that's
why we won.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because
it's true.
That was the mentality. And you know, I don't know if it's the travel ball days that are going on right now, but it just seems like every single person like in college is like their best friends on the field, off the field, you know, and that's probably social media and all that stuff. But I just remember like when we played LSU, I didn't want no part of talking to Brittany Sneed ever.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, it's funny because I don't know if she's going to say yes or not, but I asked somebody to coach with me that I played against in the pro league. That played at Georgia. And I just remember, I'm like, we hated each other on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But off the field, we were fine. But put us on the field, like, I don't want nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
Like, I probably yelled at her if I had to take a guess, like, knowing me. But that, you know, that's just the mentality that, you know, I think is brings that back that we need to start get back into is like, nah, like, I like you, you're my friend, but like, I'm still trying to take your spot. Like, if I was still playing, I would look Amanda Lorenz in the face and be like, you ain't playing over me.
Yeah.
I will out hit you and I will outplay you.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of, you know, learning more about Michael Jordan and the way that he was with the Bulls. You would never expect him to be like, yeah, Scottie Pippen and I go after practice, we hold hands and we go out to eat. Like, I think it comes, Halo and I have talked a lot. I mean, maybe they did eat together and, but Halo and I have talked a lot about being a female in sport and being a high level athlete as a female. And I think you see some of that expectation of being like, well, everything, you like sunshine and rainbows, those girls out there just doing it and with their friends. It's like, dog, like regardless, male or female, we are competitors and you're out there competing to win. And that at the end of the day comes before. Do you make friendships along the way? Absolutely. You can't deny that. But when the priority is to win and to be the one on the field to help do that, that's a different mentality than, yeah, that's my pal. Like, oh, play because I love you so much. You go, you have it.
Yeah. Totally.
Sweating.
Kelly, have you heard of the term toxic positivity?
Whoa.
Because, okay, so I think, like, everything that you're talking about right now, like, it's all I can think about. Sam, maybe we had this conversation at Athletes Unlimited at some point, because, like, I think culture and society and just everything with social media and all of that, it's, like, it's stay optimistic, stay positive, like,
yeah.
And I think we can get lost in that and it can become toxic because we choose positivity over reality.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, we lose accountability. And when that happens, we lose competitiveness. And so, like, everything you're talking about, I think just comes from a point of, like, being real and like, not being afraid to say hard things. Because at the end of the day, like, yes, are those conversations going to be super difficult to have? Yeah, is like fighting and going head to head with your teammates in a super competitive way always fun? Like when you win, it's fun, but when you lose, you're really mad and you like don't want to talk. Like that's how I am, at least. And you want to like just crawl in a shell and whatever. And it's like, oh, I need like 24 hours before I can look at you again. But that's what makes you better. And you have to be like real and authentic with it. So like, I don't know. There are a lot of people I think that are listening to this podcast and this show of like, I'm assuming that are listening to what you're saying. And it's like, yes, 100%. This is what I want to do. But like, how do I do it? And you're someone that works, like you work in the HPP, you see these young athletes, you've coached in the pro leagues, you played in the pro leagues. Like, how do you, like on a tangible level, like how do you implement this stuff? What would your advice be?
One, you got to know who you are as a person. Like,
period.
If you can't be honest with yourself, then you probably shouldn't be trying to be honest with other people, because you know a lot of people can see through. Most people can see through you. Like, you know, like if you're preaching about, well, you know, run that out harder or like make a better throw, but you're not holding yourself accountable and not like looking at yourself, like, did you do that? Did you do it 100%? Because as athletes, we don't want to hear from those people. Like, we want to hear from the people that are doing it themselves, right? So that's the first thing, is like, know who you are as a person. And then two, you know, I think coaches need to kind of do a better job of this, but like knowing your role, right? So if you don't understand what your role is, ask. I would ask your coaches what your role is, because I think it's easier to know who you are, how you need to be, like what your expectations are, if you know what your role is. Like, if my role is to be the best freaking pinch rudder in the world, then that's what I'm going to buy 100% into, and I'm going to do. And then that enables you to hold everyone else accountable to what you're doing. Like, that's my role, so I'm going to hold everyone else to be a better base runner. You know, I think there's little things, you know, that can help you be able to do that. And the other thing is too, is like, we're women. We're so worried about what people think about us. Like, if you want to win, you have to stop worrying about, am I going to upset my friend? Am I going to hurt her feelings? Like, if she's your friend, she shouldn't be hurt by what you say to her. Like, right. If it's going to help her and help the team be better, you know? So getting over those little things, I think, will help, you know. It's crazy to think about, but like, how many people have you guys played with that has like honestly and openly like held you accountable to be a better athlete, to be a better softball player? Like, has anyone ever flat out told you, hey, like, you need to make a better throw? Or like, hey, I don't like the way you field that ground ball. I feel like we're going to lose a gold medal because of it. Like, I need you to be better at it. Like, those are hurtful things, right?
Yeah.
But if you take a step back and say, either A, screw you, I'm going to show you.
Right.
Or like, okay, I'm going to make a better throw, and then you can just shut up, you know, like that type of mentality, instead of be like, oh, she picked on me. Oh my God, she thinks that I'm going to cost us a gold medal. Like, but that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I've been trying to preach to some of these younger kids, like, you're going to have a negative thought, right?
Yep.
Actually.
But how fast can you have that positive thought?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference in being a top tier athlete and an average athlete.
Yeah.
You know, you say you suck, you suck, you suck, you suck, you suck. Like, what do you think is going to happen? But if you say you suck and then you say, damn it, I'm going to hit the crap out of you next time.
Period.
Most likely that's what's going to happen. Like, and Halo, you have that mentality. I know you do. And Sam, I'm not saying you don't, but Halo, like, you could just, it's written all over your face.
Yeah.
Like, every pitch,
I don't hide my
like,
emotions very well.
No, you know, and if people watched AU, like, see you freaking swing through a pitch, you give a look at the pitcher and it's like, we're like the same person, because it's the same thing I would do. You're like, oh, you better not throw that there again, because it's getting hard and it might go right back at you, and I'm sorry.
Right.
Sorry, not sorry.
I'm going to take my single or double, but sorry.
I've seen a wink out of Halo every now and then, like a
Good pitch. Try throwing it again.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But how many kids don't think that way.
Yeah.
No.
You know, they're like, oh, I just let a fatty go. We all let fatties go. Come on. But yeah, like, hey, you throw that there again, I'm going to hit it.
Yeah. I love that.
Halo, you want to wrap us up? You got any good nuggets? I mean, you always do a good job of asking the final thoughts.
Yeah. We could talk to you for 3 hours. And I think so many people would just get so much from you, like so much wisdom. But I like asking this question because I think it just puts like a good little bow on things. But if you could give any advice to your younger self, what would it be and why?
Oh man.
I love when she does this.
I know. Yeah.
It's funny because I think about now that I'm like trying to preach things to younger athletes, I think about this question probably more often than not. But man, I was that stubborn kid, right? That was like good enough to do whatever I wanted and didn't have to really work hard. Like I really make people like Sam angry who hit 500 balls and take 100 ground balls because they want to be the best they possibly can be. Whereas I'm the younger me is like, that's a waste of time. Like, what are you doing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But looking back now, it's like, I think about like how good I was, but now I have that thought of like, how great could I have been? And
wow,
I know I was good, but like,
you were great. Still are great.
But like, how much better could I have been? And it might not have been like so extreme of like, I'm jumping off the charts difference, but like, I could have been maybe a little bit faster. I could have, you know, hit 450 instead of four. You know, there's just different things that like I just see now that I'm like, I could have been in better. That's probably the best, most easy thing for me to talk about is the whole in shape thing. I hated working out. I hated running. I hate, you know, still hate running, but if I have to do it, I'll do it. Just hold that whole piece and how much it could change my game. I think that's probably the younger me is like, don't be so stubborn.
Yeah.
Be open-minded to everything and be willing to change or try and change and figure out what works for me.
Uh-huh.
It's probably the two things that I'm like, man, because a lot of these kids, I say kids, but a lot of these women are coming from these colleges and they've been taught how to hit a certain way.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it's all great, but once you leave that system, how do you survive?
Right.
Oof, and to me, the best way you could do that is by paying attention to what everyone else is doing and taking little nuggets from everyone and trying them, the willingness to try them to see if that helps you grow. Because if you're just still living in that college world, you guys know you ain't gonna grow. Yeah. You're just gonna sink and you're gonna get lost in the shuffle, and then there you go, you're not a softball player anymore. Probably like a lawyer or a CPA or something, making more money than us, but that'd probably be it.
No, that's beautiful. Amazing. I think it's amazing, especially hearing from somebody who has achieved so much where you're like, how, like, could I have been better? Like, I think that at the end of the day, a really cool piece of advice coming from somebody like you. So that's awesome. Our Bantees will love it.
Yes.
I hope so.
Yes. Thank you so much, Kel, for joining us and for all the wisdom you shared.
We love you.
No problem at all. I can't, I would be in trouble if I didn't talk about the HPP program real quick.
No.
Go ahead right now.
Join the HPP program. It's our high performance program where we're trying to grow the national teams program at a younger age group level. So we have 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s, 16s, 17s, and 18s. We're naming a national team for each age group. The WBSC is having younger international tournaments now for different age groups. Like, we just had our 15 team that won the first WBSC World Cup for 15s. Woohoo! Having the 18s are having a team this coming summer to qualify for the 18 World Cup. So get involved, come join us, learn what it means to wear USA across your chest. And yeah, that's my soapbox about that.
Well said.
Well, you heard
it here, folks. You heard it here. Holy buckets.
Team USA has brought me opportunities that I never thought I would have before. and super humbled to be able to represent my country.
There's so much talent in the United States playing softball right now, and we want to see the game continue to grow and prosper and develop.
I want to develop not just men, but women's softball as well.
I want to see more girls like me playing this sport.
I just hope one day that I could be somewhat mentioned, like a Natasha Watley, to help this game.
I just remember like watching everyone like in the Olympics, like, and you guys just representing this country. And for me playing USA softball, like I just want to do the same.